Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On today's Caped Wonder Superman podcast, an update to our original New York filming locations podcast.
We've made some new discoveries with the help of one of our Caped Wonder correspondents that will take you directly to the terrace of Lois Lane herself.
Now, the Caped Wonder Superman podcast with Jay Towers and Jim Bowers on iHeartRadio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Caped Wonder Superman podcast, episode 31 in Detroit, Michigan. I'm Jay Towers, as always, just outside of Las Vegas, my friend Jim Bowers. And Jim, can you believe it? 31 episodes of the Caped Wonder Superman podcast.
Just great, Jay. And we are on year two of the podcast, and what a ride it has been.
Yeah, I tell you what, we love finding out new information, and it has been a little tough for us because we really learned some new things over the summer when it comes to some of the Superman filming locations. And we said, hey, let's really make sure we have all this information correct and we have the right photos and we can really check everything out. And that's what we were able to do, thanks to a special correspondent, which you mentioned in the open. But Superman filming locations are still to this day something all fans who love these films want to do. They want to be able to visit these spots.
They do. And remember when we visited Niagara Falls, how exciting that was, that so little had changed there. That should be on everyone's travel list. And certainly I think New York City is probably number one. And because there's so many different places to go see. And fortunately, so many of them look very, very similar to what they did in what they look like in 1977 when Richard Donner and the team. How exciting that must have been. I know we've talked to our friends that are from there, Delmo Walters and Brian McKernan, Steven Springer. They were all in theaters there and got to see these amazing places that they've walked by maybe a few hundred times. And wow, you know, and then there's Canada where the real Kent farm still stands today and has been standing since 1917. I mean, that's not an easy place to get to. But that's one of many that I know fans want to go to eventually.
And what a task it must have been to film these movies. I mean, think about New York City and the fact that you had such a limited amount of time there to get a lot of things done.
They were filming not only movie footage, but they were also shooting a whole bunch of promotional photos. And, of course, we're familiar with the iconic rooftop photos that Chris Reeve is pointing in the air. And that one got featured in Time magazine just a short time after they took the photos as a teaser. And I know everybody's talked about, oh, that was one of the first photos I ever saw of Chris. How exciting it was. So the location scouts like Bill Brody in Canada and all these folks they relied on to find just the right places to shoot. Can you imagine all the time they must have spent just walking New York City, trying to find the best places to shoot and the best camera angles. And, you know, and then they had the big blackout in New York City, July 13th. So all of that was going on at the same time.
You know, when you think about our guests that we're going to talk to here, know this, for so many years, a location that many people thought was a famous Superman filming location has been wrong. It's right now.
Hey, this guy is on a real quest in New York City. He's been living there a long time. His name's Todd Phillips. And wait till you hear what he has discovered recently and been sharing with me with so many photos and great information. And of course, he got out there on the Manhattan Bridge. So welcome, Todd Phillips.
Hi there, guys. How are you?
When November, December hits, I've got Superman the movie on my mind, and I think all of us watch it probably at least once a year at this time. And I'm really, really fired up about you being here today and us talking about all of these amazing filming locations in New York.
Well, I'm really thrilled to be on the podcast. I never imagined really that I would be a guest. And so thanks for inviting me to be a part of it. It's really great.
You know, I think when we start out like with something like this, Todd, before we get into some locations and some of the discoveries you've made, we always like to know where the love of this film is rooted for you. So why don't you tell us why you love these Superman films so much?
Sure. Well, I was born in Ithaca, which is where I ended up finding out that Christopher Reeve, of course, went to college. His dormitory was not far, really just down the road and around the corner from the house I lived in my first 6 months. And then I grew up in Albany. And really, it was my mom introduced me to the George Reeves Adventures of Superman TV show. So that was my introduction to Superman. I think that a kid in kindergarten said that Superman was coming on TV. And it was, so it was Superman 2. And I think it was the 1984 broadcast. My dad was a minister. We didn't have a lot of money. So, but my mom rented a color television so that we could see his red cape and his red boots and his blue uniform. And so this became an annual thing. She would also do it for The Wizard of Oz so we could see that movie go from black and white to color. But this became a once or twice a year event where mom would rent a color TV for those two films. And Superman 2 was my foray. And so that was my first introduction to Metropolis, that over the credit, you know, when the credits come soaring over Lower Manhattan, that was my introduction to New York City, you know. And then when Chris had his accident in 95, our whole family watched him throughout his years of recovery. And then I ultimately got involved for a period of time with the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation and a grassroots nonprofit called Unite to Fight Paralysis. Ultimately, it was renamed the Christopher and Dana Reeve Paralysis Act. And so I worked really hard on getting that passed 2006, seven, and then it was passed in 2008.
Well, you've met Christopher and Dana, and you've also,
I did.
You also met Christopher's mom. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, okay. I was working in the Broadway theaters, and I lived not far. I lived on West 71st, so, and not far from where he originally lived on West 79th and Columbus Avenue. And so one day I'm walking to work, and I walk through Columbus Circle, and I get to 57th Street, and I see the Solo Building, 9 West 57th, and think, oh yeah, that's where he catches the burglar. And I just think to myself, wouldn't it be cool if Chris and Dana showed up at the theater today? So I was working the play, The Diary of Anne Frank, and I believe this was in 98. I get to work, I'm setting up my little booth. Lo and behold, Chris and Dana come into the theater, and they put Chris only about 4 or 5 feet away from me in the corner. And of course, he's in his chair. And to see this man, and to look at his sneakers and think that's the guy who wore the red boots. I mean, I practically could not breathe. And I got to talk to him a little bit about his first directorial effort in The Gloaming. Years later, after Chris passed, Dana Reeve was performing at Feinstein's at the Regency. It was about an hour-long cabaret show. I just happened to be seated next to Barbara Johnson, Chris's mom. Took me until after the performance for me to get up the nerve to say hi to her. It was just great to get to tell her how much her son meant to me all through growing up in my teenage years. And then we exchanged some pen pal notes two or three rounds of that. And it was just great to be in touch with her.
Well, what I loved is that you said to her, he was a guiding light for me, and he will always be that. Yeah, that's
exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. So, Todd, when was it living in New York that you went to check out 240 Central Park South, knowing for so many years that it has been described as the exterior filming location of Lois Lane's apartment and Superman, and of course, Superman 2? When did you realize this is wrong? This is not the right place.
I think that I first became aware of that looking at different filming location websites. It's listed that way, I believe, on imdb.com. And then just different random fan sites that seem more independently run. It's even listed on that. So I don't know how that got started. And so then the most official thing that I ended up finding is that There's a company called On Location Tours, and they do the superhero movie tour in New York, and they'll take you to all of the Superman, Spider-Man, X-Men, et cetera, locations. And certainly the Daily News, the Solo Building are on that. But on their website, even still, they say that they'll take you to Lois Lane's penthouse apartment and that they'll point out the specific apartment. And so this has always perplexed me. And so when you guys did the first Metropolis Movie Locations podcast, I listened to that and I thought, I wonder if they've found Gracie Terrace yet. And I had just discovered it a few months before you did that podcast. And so, of course, you guys were talking about 240 Central Park South. And so I went back to look at it and started photographing it from every angle I could possibly find and then photographed the back. And I really could not find a terrace to me that looked like Lois's terrace. And really what I was looking for was a angular terrace that's off center from what I kind of call a wedding cake style building.
Yeah.
And 240 Central Park South has a very large section to it with then all these balconies on all sides of the building coming off of it. And I'm looking for...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A building that has one terrace taking up the whole top of the building.
Yeah, Jim, we talked about this a little bit yesterday before we did the show, but we were trying to figure out why was that location thought to be Lois Lane's apartment? Do we know?
I don't think there's a definitive answer, but even Richard Donner has stated in an interview that that's where he thought it was. The only thing I can come up with is perhaps they considered many rooftops, and they may have even filmed many rooftops with helicopters, but ultimately decided on the one we see in the movie. So I just think to cover their bases, they probably had a number of rooftops. They just thought, well, okay, let's film it or let's consider it. And maybe because that one was close to the Mayflower Hotel where everybody was staying, which is close to that location, isn't it, Todd?
Yeah, it's right down the street. It's basically two blocks away.
So just so everyone can picture this in their minds.
Story of my life. Cinderella bites the dust.
There's this great shot of New York and the perspective of Superman flying in, seeing the terrace. And then he lands and...
Good evening, Miss Lane.
And she turns and looks at him. If we are standing where the camera is supposed to be, where are we geographically based on what's projected behind Chris when he's standing on that ledge?
Oh, you would be in Columbus Circle. I speculate that they either filmed that Columbus Circle footage either from the Mayflower Hotel, maybe even more likely the tower that is right on Columbus Circle, which of course wasn't at the time, but is currently the Trump International Hotel. So you're looking south. And so I speculate that they may have been up in what is now the Trump International Hotel, which I think is got to at least be a 30 or 40 floor building. It's on the north end of Columbus Circle, but has an unobstructed view south.
Now, I've got scouting pictures that featured Richard Donner, Jeffrey Unsworth, Tom Mankiewicz, Pierre Spangler, et cetera, where they were on the rooftop of the Mayflower scouting. So, you know, it's possible that even the Mayflower was considered for the terrace, for Lois Lane's terrace.
Yeah.
So I think they scouted a number of them. And maybe that one, Jay, just stood out in Donner's mind when he was doing that interview. How it got to be the go-to location for tours and all that, I don't know that we'll ever know. But you know, the word just spread and it just kept going like that over the years.
Because Richard Donner did an interview on Directors Guild of America where he talks about his memory of filming, he specifically says flying the helicopter over Central Park with a terrace on Central Park West. This was about 2 years ago. It was when they did the 40th anniversary of the movie. And I have two friends, my friend Steven and my friend Chris Daniels, who I kept texting back and forth saying, I finally came to the conclusion that I was just going to walk Central Park from the north end to the south end and find this building on Central Park West. But really what I ended up finding is that a lot of the buildings that actually are on Central Park West, they're either extremely Art Deco, like either the Ghostbusters building on 64th Street or the Majestic Apartments on 72nd Street, or they're pre-war and they're extremely ornate. When you look especially at Superman's sad goodbye with Lois at the end of Superman 2, you get a great shot panning away from the building and you get a really great view of that lower apartment below Lois's terrace that has a simple living room windows. It's very clearly just a simple red brick. And the trim of the balcony is just simple cement or stone. Nothing like these ornate shapes that are pretty much on every building, the full length from 59th Street to East 102nd or so in Central Park, on Central Park West. And so at that point, I felt like either they've torn the building down or it finally then started to occur to me, could Donner's recollection have been, not to say wrong, but did he misremember? And so at that point, I decided, let's go back and look at the hard evidence. And the hard evidence that we've got is the movie and those two shots, the end of Superman 2 and his fly-in in Superman 1. And it's looking at Superman 1. I started to go frame by frame. What buildings could I identify? And I'd always thought that furthest left in the shot is a tall building with red lights on the top of it. And I'd always assumed and always felt that that was 30 Rockefeller Center. They always have letters on the top of that building. So it was the RCA building in the 70s. And then later on, it was switched to GE. But the red is wide enough that it looked clearly like it would have been three letters rather than the two letters of GE. I thought, okay, that's definitely Rockefeller Center. If I could identify another building in the shot, what would that be? I think I took a picture of my TV and then just zoomed in. And what do I find? Lo and behold, is the Solo building, is one of the next buildings to the right of Rockefeller Center. So that's two. So I'm thinking this has either got to be Upper East Side or South Chelsea. But all the buildings in Chelsea are quite low. A lot of them are brownstones, so they're only four floors high. And so then I thought, what else can I identify? And if you look at that first frame all the way to the right, and I used to go there a lot and hear music, and this one building all the way to the right that's in shadow stands alone. And I immediately thought that's got to be the Carlyle Hotel. It's got a very definitive kind of a dome-shaped roof, and it's all by itself. And I thought, my God, if that's the Carlyle, that's on 76th, 77th Street and Madison Avenue. It was this huge bingo moment of, it's got to be the Upper East Side. And as he flies in, it's a really, really wide cityscape. And I also felt it couldn't just be the Upper West Side. It's way too narrow. What if it's both the Upper West and the Upper East Side? That would put that building all the way east. And what other location would make sense to be flying a helicopter that low would probably be the East River, which of course, then you think, well, her view is not of Columbus Circle and all of Manhattan. Her view would probably be the East River. So I found a couple of other buildings that you can see as Superman flies in. And once I basically, I got out of the subway on the Upper East Side, somewhere, I think 72nd Street, and I started walking north and found a tall skyscraper, an apartment building that you can see behind her terrace. And I just decided to walk all the way to the East River and walk up until I could find it. And I'm approaching the East 80s. You're basically right below the building. And I start to see what I think is the very simple outline of that balcony that they rebuilt and that he then lands on the movie studio. They really recreated the shape of that terrace exactly in the movie studio.
Well, you have a very unique opportunity, Todd, in that what you do for a living enabled you to get a unique perspective and see the building even more clearly. Tell us a little bit about that.
6 months after I found the building, I applied to a company called Classic Harbor Line. And so I'm currently working as a mate, second mate, and I'm working my way towards a captain's license to drive. We have two motor yachts. One's 100 feet, one's 80 feet. And they're built to look like old commuter style yachts of the 1950s. But one of the things that we do, and in fact, before I got the job, they said, you know, why don't you go take a ride in the boat, see if you like it. And so the first trip I did was a 3-hour architecture trip that completely circumnavigates the island of Manhattan. It goes up the East River, up into the East Harlem River, and then out into the Hudson River. And I thought, well, now I'm going to actually get to see Lois's place from a little bit better of an angle. Yeah. Coincidentally, I get to see this building, you know, most days I go to work that we do the circumnavigation of Manhattan. And I imagine that if I had only gotten this job in 2006, when they started with their motorboats, I know if I had seen this building from the river, I know the shape of that building. I would have thought, ah, stop the boat. That's Lois's place. But, you know, it took scouring Central Park West, looking at every angle of Central Park of 240 Central Park South, and then eventually just deciding December 23rd, 2 years ago, to just walk on foot up the East River until I found it. But now I get to enjoy it from a boat.
And thanks to your great research, now we know Lois Lane's penthouse apartment is actually located at 1 Gracie Terrace. So what floor is it? Do we know?
It should be either the 18th or the 20th floor. It's a 20-floor building that was built in 1952, so post-war.
Right.
But it's the top. They say it's a 20-floor building. And when I talked to the doormen, they actually said that that terrace is shared by two apartments. And so if it's a 20-floor building, as it's listed on all of the real estate websites and so forth, it should be the 20th floor or the penthouse level.
Well, we know it's at the top of the building.
Right.
You said it was built 1952, which is Christopher Reeve's birth year.
Birthday. Oh, my God. And he was born at Lenox Hill Hospital on 77th Street and Lexington Avenue, which is basically directly west and, what, 5 blocks down. And by the way,
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The way Chris lived as a toddler in the East 90s near Gracie Mansion. And so in his autobiography, he talks about, I think he lived there until he was maybe two, but he talks about being in a stroller and always craning his neck to watch the airplanes flying over. And that's where his fascination with airplanes and flying started before they moved to New Jersey.
Wow. So now the truth can be told, Todd, all of these folks who are going on these formal tours are not getting the right information, but now it can be told to all of the Superman fans listening that this is where you need to go when you visit New York. And obviously Jay and I have not been to that spot. We've been to many other locations in New York, and so have a lot of other Superman fans. And you've actually been to some locations that the fans don't talk about too much.
Which ones would you like to talk about?
Come on, Frisky. Come on, come down.
Hi, I'll get him.
Frisky. Oh, Frisky.
Yeah, that's the first time you and I really spoke, Todd, is when you sent me pictures of Brooklyn Heights, where Superman rescues the kitty.
It lasts maybe 1.5 seconds, the shot of him flying in, and he's got all the tree branches in front of him, but you can see lower Manhattan. In fact, you can see 111 Wall Street, and a building which is called the Elevated Acre is like right behind him. That's 55 Water Street, also known as 100 Old Slip Street, which happens to also be the location where of the police station and where the Serenity boat is. It's just all of these locations, once you start to get familiar with them, you can see them in different shots of the movie. I really only figured out where that was certainly you can see it kind of where it's located based on what's behind him in that flying in shot. But really, it was the behind the scenes documentary where there's a very short clip up above the street, like a behind the scenes camera showing him on the cables flying in. And you can see the circular cul-de-sac at the end of the road there. That's Remsen Street. You know, they obviously didn't get to film the actual scene there because it started to rain.
Right. And incidentally, that was one of the first successful wire flying shots filmed. Just for the fans listening, when he approaches the trees in New York in July 77, when he grabs the kitty and lands, he's in England in the wintertime, which is why you see his breath and the little girl's breath. But movie magic at its best right there. Nearby the location on Remsen Street is what's now known as Brooklyn Bridge Park. And that's where we see Chris and all of those iconic water photographs that Bob Penn shot. And I believe you could even walk there. So for the fans that are maybe considering finding these locations, there's two nearby each other.
If anybody wants to go to Remsen Street, you just walk all the way to the southernmost end of the Brooklyn Promenade. And it ends at Remsen Street. So you won't get lost. As you come off the promenade, you'll actually be in that, you know, cul-de-sac end of the roadway area. And it was right there.
Well, you wonder if that tree is still there.
I've taken pictures of the two trees. So I know I've got, and they look like they probably are, you know, are those original trees. They look like they've, you know, grown since that time period. So I'd like to think that they're the original trees.
Todd, have you been to the location Jim's talking about, the pier?
You know, I haven't been to Pier 5. It's a long walk. So I've been waiting for kind of a nice day to do that. I was wanting to do that this spring, but then obviously this New York City got shut down. But that was on my list of things to, you know, take a nice long walk down there. You have to walk through Brooklyn Bridge Park. And you're walking along, I think, the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. So that one's a little bit more of a trek to get to, but it's on my list.
And when you do a Google Earth of Pier 5 and try to find that spot where Chris was standing with that great New York skyline behind him and those iconic pictures Jim was talking about, it looks like there's tennis courts there now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've actually seen that pier from our motor yachts when we've been in the East River. And so they've transformed all of those piers into recreational places, which is great because, you know, now it's, we can actually go there and it's safe and they're no longer, you know, warehouses or industrial use is not part of those piers anymore. So, you know, you are allowed to be there.
And for those of you who are going to travel there, you're not going to find the pieces of wood he's standing on. They're long gone. So if you own a nice camera, not a point and shoot, not a cell phone, but you own a regular single lens reflex camera, the kind you can take the lenses off and exchange. If you do own a telephoto lens and you want to capture a similar shot as you see with the cityscape behind Superman, use a telephoto lens. And then physically walk back and frame your subject, and you'll notice that the cityscape comes right up to the back of your subject. Otherwise, if you use a standard camera, the city will seem very far away, and you'll wonder, why can't I get that look in my cell phone? Because you got to have a telephoto lens. So I can't wait to go there. We have a friend, Mike Lemire, who's a New York City policeman who cosplays as Superman, and he was going to go down there and shoot some photos in costume, but it just didn't work out for him yet. He's really excited about going down there. So I'd love to see someone in costume go and do some shots like that. Maybe I need to be the guy to do it. I just need to find the right person to wear the cape if Mike's not available.
Mooney, fresh bottles on me. Let me get my hat.
Let's talk about the police station, Todd, where you visited as well and have some great photos.
For sure, yeah. Last week, I took the New York City ferry from East 90th, and I wanted to get a few more shots of Lois's penthouse as we came down the East River, and as well as 111 Wall Street, which is where the helicopter lands in the first movie. And so on the ferry ride down, I texted Jim and I said, you know, hey, by the way, remind me where that police station is. And it's just about two blocks down from 111 Wall Street. And as I got to it, I remembered that I had actually worked in that building one time only. It must have been the late 90s. It was a police museum at the time. And I very vaguely remember being inside. Little did I know that it was the police station in Superman the movie. And the building is still there. They're restoring the outside. Sadly, the interior was ruined during Hurricane Sandy. I'm sure that basically the South Street Seaport area, the police doors are original. They're the same doors that are there in the film. And you can see that very unique metal grating on the windows of the doors. It's still there. But if you peek inside, everything's been torn apart and it's bare bones, and they have scaffolding on the inside. So sadly, the large wooden police desk is no longer there. But the building looks the same from the exterior, even down to that shot of Officer Mooney looking up into the sky. You can still see a little notch in the stone facade of the police station. You know, it's other than the damage inside, it looks exactly the same.
Those are the greatest parts of finding filming locations for any film, is when you can match something you see in the movie, even if it's minute, and say, you know, my God, this is it. And that was, you know, in front of the New York Daily News building. Man, I told Jim, I said, I think they were worried about me, because, I mean, they're like, why is this guy in front of this building taking so many photos and videos for an hour and then staying at the hotel attached to it? But you know what? You can't help yourself.
You can't. You know, that reminds me, Jay, of when we were trying to figure out in Niagara Falls in May of 2019 when we went. Where was Lois standing when Hadley Kay falls off the edge of the railing?
Right.
We were able to nail that down by just some unique aspects to the rocks in the wall. You had her Polaroid camera. And then I believe, Jay, you noticed where the phone booth used to be in front of the Daily News building. And Todd, I think you've even talked about it being by a magazine rack. But Jay, you said it's something else now. What is it?
Well, it's right near one of those pay stations for city parking. And what really gives it away, and although streets sometimes change and buildings change, often the manhole covers in the street do not, at least the locations don't change. And you can really line that up in the helicopter scene when Clark walks up to that payphone and realizes it's not a phone booth and walks past it. You can match those up to this day.
Well, isn't it great that we're able to share all of this that I have never heard other fans talk about? And, you know, if you're going to make the effort to go to New York City and spend the money staying there, and you really want to give yourself the ultimate tour, if you're doing your own tour, these bonuses that I call them, knowing where the phone booth is, going over to Frisky's place, etc., those are the places that I hope people will have time to visit, because we all know that the fans go right to the Daily News building to see the Globe. Yep. Which is fantastic. It's a beautiful lobby. That's not changed, I don't think, much. And of course, they found the Mugger alleyway, the exterior of that, Pike Street and Broadway. And that's quite a hike, Todd. So I know people have had to get in a shuttle, yeah, taxi or bus or something to get there. Those are the main two. And there's also that great promotional shot of Christopher Reeve at the, I believe, the federal courthouse. Is that right? Didn't you go there recently?
Oh, I just went. Yeah, I just went there. That's in the main circular area where the courts are in lower Manhattan.
Foley Square.
That's right. Okay,
yeah, that's New York State courthouse. And I've got that photo. We'll post it on the podcast page here this week. But it's the really amazing photo of Chris Reeve with his arms folded, standing there with it in the background, the courthouse behind him. And that also is not a location I ever hear people visiting. So that, I think that's a definite must, because I love those buildings and that area.
Well, you can definitely match up, using the two courthouses and figure out with your camera where he stood. And I thought, you know, looking at his photograph, there's some red brick going in one direction when they did the photo shoot. Oddly, and you know, so I was trying to do that thing of matching up, you know, little details in a stone or a rock or a sidewalk or whatever. But the funny thing is that they certainly have repaved all of the sidewalk there. although there is still brick there, they replaced the brick, but the bricks are now angled in a different direction. So at first I thought I found the bricks. No, they were nice enough to put bricks back, but they're going in the opposite direction than they were in the promo photo, of course.
Well, it's interesting that I've only seen one photograph from that particular shoot.
It's just the one.
Yeah, just the one. And I love it because it's sort of a truth, justice, American way, truth and justice with the courthouse behind him. One of the other locations, Jay, that I think you're going to want to talk about that our friend Brian McKernan found.
Hey, Jim! Woo!
Excuse me.
That's a bad outfit.
Yeah, that is and Todd, we'll let you get into specific location, but again, here's another area where you really have to be paying attention to what you're looking at, because it looks so different than it did in the film. And what gives it away is when you stand in the right spot and look at the buildings and the outlines of buildings and the architecture of the buildings. That's how you know you're in the right spot, but it's much different than it looked in the film.
Yeah, the dry cleaners took over.
Yes, our friend Brian McKernan reminds us that it is 101 West 58th Street, west of 6th Avenue. He said the front entrance was on Central Park South. The hotel, which had become part of the Best Western chain by 1977, was totally remodeled in 1988 into the Trump Park condo tower, eliminating the 101 entrance and revolving door. Like Todd just mentioned, now a dry cleaner.
If I understand correctly, they would have filmed his burglar landing and then his takeoff, you know, either a day or two apart, but that they had dressing rooms arranged inside the Solo building. And like you and I, Jim, has speculated that maybe they just picked 101 West 58th Street because it was close to the Solo building.
Well, I think so. And when I walked around down there, I did not know about the 101 58th at the time I was there, but I did walk over to the Solo. But when I got on Google Earth and looked at it, it would have been pretty easy for them to move the crane from the Solo building over to 101 or vice versa. I know the Solo building filming was done on July 19th, 77. So I'm not sure what order they were done, but I think logistically it was easier for the crew and the crane operator to move everything over there.
For sure. And well, with 57th Street being a major thoroughfare, like 42nd Street and being two ways, 6th Avenue would have been pretty wide to just move that crane around the corner. And he takes off not too far in from 6th Avenue. But like Jay is saying, if you stand in that spot and angle your camera, the building that is across 6th Avenue on 58th Street, its facade in the corner of the building, the stonework that's on the corner of that building, as well as the one on the southern corner, are very identifiable. So in that way, and also the other part is those columns that Brian talked about that still remain on the facade of 101 West 58th Street, which are right above the dry cleaner. You can still see those. So you can guesstimate and figure out where that revolving door.
So you're not going to find Hotel Vandalier, which is behind him when he runs towards the camera, which I have researched and can't find a Hotel Vandalier anywhere.
Right.
I still don't know where that name came from. That's not going to be in New York. So, yep, that's one of the other great Superman movie mysteries.
Before we wrap things up today, Todd, let me ask you, so people listening today, you mentioned that you're part of a company that does boat tours and things like that. We always love to give them a plug, especially if it is an opportunity for fans as things get a little better here during a pandemic to head to New York, or maybe they listen on the East Coast. How can they do that?
So they're going to want to go to sail-nyc.com, or you can just Google Classic Harbor Line. And we cruise out of Chelsea Piers, Pier 62. And you're going to want to look for our architecture tour. And it'll be listed as a 2-hour, 45-minute circumnavigation of the island of Manhattan. You'll be able to see a lot, you know, a lot of these sites that we've talked about, you'll actually be able to see from the water. You'll if you know where to look, and certainly if I'm crew, or eventually captain, I'll point it out to you. But you can see the police station. You can see 111 Wall Street. You can see the area where Remsen Street is, where Frisky gets rescued. And then as you go up the East River, once you're all looking at my photographs of number one Gracie Terrace, as you go up the East River, it's a very identifiable building with these large building width wide white balconies that are the full length of the building. So as you go up the East River, Lois Lane's apartment is on an angle on the FDR, which is another one of those reasons why it was kind of tricky to find. It's built on the diagonal of Manhattan. But you'll be able to see number one Gracie Terrace, Lois's penthouse. It's very identifiable from the water.
Well, I've looked at that website, and you've got some absolutely beautiful yachts to tour on. Do you mention these Superman locations during the tour, or is that something people have to ask? Hey, are there any Superman locations on this?
I think right now you might have to ask, okay. But I can't tell you too much, but I have a hunch that there might be a Superman superhero tour coming soon that'll be specifically for seeing these different locations, whether it's Superman, Spider-Man, or what have you. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on our website for down the road. But certainly ask for me. If you come to Classic Harbor Line, ask if Todd Phillips is crewing the boat. And if I'm not, and you want me to join you on the trip, I'd be happy to come out and point some of these things out on our architecture tour.
Well, I'm really excited about going by the Statue of Liberty. You've sent me some beautiful footage of the Statue of Liberty, and I have not ever gotten out there. So I can tell you that when Jay and I get there, we are definitely going to be joining you. This is really exciting because I'm a big fan of boats anyway. So
I know. I think there is definitely a yacht ride in both of yours futures.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yes.
you won't get me in a helicopter, but a yacht.
I don't know about that.
Jim, do you want to tell everybody just about the new gallery on CapeWonder.com?
Absolutely. Yesterday, I decided after your urging Jay to build a new webpage on CapeWonder.com. And it's CapeWonder.com/NYC filming locations. And I have started populating that page with many of Todd's amazing photographs that he's been sending me of these different locations he's visited. And there's also a link there to our first New York City locations podcast with Brian McKernan. And we're going to be adding a lot more content to that page. So you'll want to come back often. We're going to add some of Todd's videos. And whatever photos you want to send me, Todd, I'll be sure to put on there. And I welcome all the fans who have been to these locations. If you want to send me content and information and trivia and that sort of thing, I want to make this the go-to Superman filming locations page for New York City. And we want to thank you, Todd, for all of this legwork you've been doing. You've been determined on this quest to find the real places. And we can't wait to join you. And we're so thankful that you've put so much energy and passion into this.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's great to be in real time with you for a little while.
Absolutely. We have lots more to talk about and lots more to do. I think 2021 is going to be that year, and we look forward to it. Jim, that is all for today. We encourage you, if you've made it all the way through this podcast, to enjoy all the podcasts, as this is episode 31.
2 years under our belt of podcasts, and we've got many more to come. So thank you again, Todd. Thank you, everyone. Hope you have a very safe and happy holiday season with all your friends and family, and stay super.
You've been listening to the Cape Wonder Superman podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Jay Towers is a Detroit TV anchor and morning radio host on 100.3 WNIC Detroit. Follow Jay on Instagram and Twitter at Jay Towers. Jim Bowers is the founder and editor of CapeWonder.com, the home of Cape Wonder Superman imagery. Follow Jim on Instagram at Cape Wonder and on Twitter at Cape Wonder Jim.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.